amazed in your presence. There is nothing you cannot do. I stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. I'm gonna sing it again. I stand amazed in your presence. Yes, Lord. But there is nothing you cannot do. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope. There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you. You, oh Jesus, there's no one like you. You do mighty things, you do glorious things. You're a faithful God, awesome is your name. Yes, Lord, you do mighty things, you do glorious things. You're a faithful God, awesome is your name. Sing with me to the top, I stand.
There is nothing you cannot do.
Hey, I stand amazed.
Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, peace, and hope.
There's no one like you.
There's no one like you, Jesus. There's no one like you.
In all the earth.
In all the earth. There's no one like you.
Your
faithful God, awesome is your name.
You are God. You are awesome. Awesome in all of your ways. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy, your goodness, your peace, your protection, your provisions, prosperity, life, for everything that you, by your grace, have accorded us. We thank you. You're awesome. When the enemy wanted us destroyed, you stood for us. Our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Peace, our Healer. You are all things to us. And all this, O God, not because in ourselves we're worthy, but because you chose us to fix us. Blessed be your holy name forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. This afternoon I was just meditating on some things about how God chose us. And as I reflected on that, it dawned on me that God chose us not because we're perfect, but because we're so flawed. And he looked and said, you're flawed. Come here. I've got some fixing to do. So he chose us because we're messed up. Can you imagine? He chose me because I was so messed up. And he wanted me fixed. That is a good thing to know. Hallelujah. So God sees a big world that is all messed up, and he's choosing them too. As I was driving in, I was thinking about things the Lord led me to say many years ago. 6, maybe 7, 8 years back. The issues that we're dealing with now, I was talking about them then. I don't normally say, thus saith the Lord. I just say, while I'm preaching, I'm saying things. And I was talking about how people are going to start choosing genders and races. In fact, in one of those situations, I was actually in the Toronto church. I said, I am white, and I dare anybody tell me that I'm not. That's way back then. Those are the issues we're dealing with now. people are flawed. They don't know what they are, who they are. They have no sense of direction. So confused. Leaders are confused. The people are confused. Just like the Word of God says, we're living in the days and the times when people are going to call good bad and bad good. It's a messed up time. But I'm comforted by what I was thinking about this afternoon, that in a messed up time, God begins to choose. And I believe we are right in the place of revival. Yeah, I believe that revival is right here now. In the midst of this darkness, the light is going to shine brighter. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we need to be very present and available, because God will do nothing in the earth realm except he first reveals his secrets to his prophets. In everything that God says, there is a corresponding action that comes from us. God says to Joshua and the people of Israel, I've given you the land. I've set it before you. It's yours. But guess what they had to do? Fight to take it. The promises of God are yes and amen. The word of God is settled in the heavens. And it is very specific. It's settled in heaven. But what is settled in heaven must be downloaded to the earth. The will of God in heaven, perfect. Let it be done in the earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Let thy kingdom come, thy will done in earth as it is in heaven. So it's all perfect in heaven. There's no confusion. The confusionist was kicked out a long time ago. Hallelujah. But now that will in heaven must be made manifest in the earth. When God sees glory and peace in heaven, what does he see? What does he see? God has revealed what his will is in heaven to so many that are in this house today. God has opened their eyes and they've seen. That will in heaven must be made manifest in the earth. What does the word manifestation mean? Huh? Brought to light? Multiplied? Okay. All right. I'll buy that. Shows up. Revealed. Okay. Made bigger. I like the way you're thinking. Manifest, to reveal something. To reveal something means that the thing was there. What is manifest is always been. It's there, but you don't see it. Manifest. I want to flip that word manifest another way, because I see two words in manifest. I see the word man, and I see the word festival. festive. When something is manifested, you come into a festive mindset. It's a celebration. Are you with me? So when we talk about the manifestation of the will of God, it is something that brings us to the wow state. So if I, let's say fireworks, for example, it's just a little stick or whatever it is, and then it's shot, it goes up, and all of a sudden you see all these colors. You go, wow! It was always inside our tube. Something reacted, and here comes all these amazing colors, flashes. Well, there was a manifestation. Let God manifest His will in us, through us, by us, for us, through us, in this last of the last days. Amen? We will receive that? Now, question. When God worked, how did He work? He spoke. He prophesied. Part of our, Paul says, fight a good fight. Yes? By what? Come on, help me. Okay, yeah, okay. Fight a good fight of faith. Okay. He says to Timothy, fight a good fight by, okay, peace, patience and endurance. I gave you the lead before I got to the question. By the prophetic word that came forth by the laying on of hands. Yeah? We take the prophetic word, and that's what we fight with. How do we fight with the prophetic word? By saying what the prophetic word says. Jesus, in Psalm 2, I will declare the decree. For every word that God says is a decree. Amen? You've heard me say this before. Every word of God is a command to be what? To be obeyed. That is a powerful word. I remember, it's got to be 15 plus years now, when the Lord spoke that to me. He said, every word. I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, exactly what I just said. Every word from me is a word, is a command that has to be obeyed. I said, so are you saying that when your word says, by my stripes you are healed, that that's a command that should be obeyed? He said, yes. I said, how do I make that happen? He said, you tell your body. You tell your body, obey the word of the Lord. Wow. Well, the things we're going to pray about tonight, we're going to enforce by speaking the word of command. For God is not a God of partiality. Whatever it is He's done before, you have a claim to. Amen? Whatever God has done before, I have a claim to. There's precedence. In law, there's precedence. So if something has been judged in a particular way before, whether it was 2 months ago or 800 years ago, if you can find a precedent for your case, you can apply the precedent as a law that this has happened before. Amen? Are you ready for this? If it has not happened before, and you see it and you believe that it should happen, you begin the precedent. Amen? Because the precedent started at a particular time. It did not exist until it became. But God has given us so much that is precedence that we have so much to pull from and say, this has happened before, this now should be. Do you think that God can increase his church by 5,000 people in one day? Do we have precedence? We do. Amazing. So when we talk about growth, we're not necessarily talking about gradual stuff. That in one moment, everything can change. Amen? Amen? Because it's called manifestation. So if in heaven there's 20,000 members of Glory and Peace, or 100,000. Are you with me? There can be a what? Manifestation. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to declare the manifestations of God. And when God wants to manifest, nothing can stop it. Praise the Lord. When when Zechariah with his mouth was about to stop the manifestation of John, who was going to precede Jesus, his mouth was shut. You're not going to stop, and you're not going to slow this thing down. This is the fullness of time, and nothing is going to stop it. So we're going to declare, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done now. Let there be a manifestation. Manifest your glory in our lives. Manifest. The word of God says there is the manifestations of the sons of God. We don't need to pray forever for it. If there is a time for the manifestation of the sons of God, it is now. Praise the Lord. I don't know whether it was a year or two ago, I said, we've come to the place and time when you're going to be hearing a lot about UFOs. How many of you remember that? Okay. What are we hearing about now? But it was tied to when you start seeing that there is also going to be the manifestation of the sons of God. Yes. Amen? Because those UFOs, they are also a form of the sons of God. Now, the Bible tells us about the alien spirits that came and were relating to humans, and they give birth to giants. Remember that? And that world had to be destroyed. Remember this in the Word of God? Well, that time, is now again. I said something to you not too long ago, maybe about 6 months ago. I said, they're talking about AI. Yes? I said, do you think the name of Jesus is stronger than AI? Remember me talking about that? When we're talking, it seems like we're talking foolishness, but we're not talking about that. Because God's word is above all things, animate and inanimate. Yes? So you've got to have a connection with Jesus. Praise the Lord. You and I have to have a God connection with Jesus so that we can stop natural things and unnatural things. Because the name of Jesus has to be bowed to by all things. Praise God. That is part of the manifestations of who we are. Are you with me? Because the church is not about plain church. The church is an awesome, powerful tool, institution, organization under the lordship of the Most High that is to enforce the will of God in the earth as it is in heaven. Did we hear that? Okay. Well, we're going to start praying. But let's look at Acts chapter 2. Wow. Talking for a while there. Acts 2:47. No, let's take it from verse 44. It says, and all that believed were together. Somebody say, and all that believed were together. That is unity. And had all things common. We're going to pray for the unification of the Church of Jesus Christ, starting with us as a local body and the body of Christ at large. Unity. It is where unity is that the commanded blessings of God rest. Word of God says, how good and how pleasant, or how good and how good, or how pleasant and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. We're going to pray for unity. Unity in every realm, unity in the church, unity in our homes, unity in our businesses, unity in our departments, unity as it relates to everything God wants to do. Because that's where His commanded blessings, His anointing comes and rests. It is the genesis for power, unity. Amen? It's the beginning point for empowerment. Praise God. Let's pray. So ask God for the empowerment of unity. Hallelujah. Father, we are thankful for the power of unity. Lord, oh God, this is a vital aspect of how you establish your church. The church that the gates of hell will not and cannot prevail over. We thank you, Lord, for that grace of unity, that the unity of the Godhead be manifest, O God, in us here in the earth today. Lord, O God, that will be a unified force under your lordship, a people that are in one place, in one accord, empowered by your Spirit to do extraordinary things in this last of the last days. Father, do something great in your church. Do something awesome with your people. Cause us, oh God, to be one people. Your word says, oh God, that as long as the people are united, there is nothing that they will not accomplish. Father, we declare this day not the unity of Babel, but the unity of the church. In the name of Jesus, Father, do, O God, in us and with us that which is extraordinary. And Lord, O God, that we will not be in competition with one another or against each other, but Lord, O God, unified, O God, with one purpose, that we will declare the glory of the Lordship of Jesus Christ and be the church, Lord, O God, that you bought, O God, with a price, a redeemed people, a people, O God, that love God with all of their hearts, with all of their soul, with all of their might, with all of their resources, willing, O God, to minister grace to each other. Father, help us be that united church. Lord, oh God, the united church that will move with power and accomplish your divine purposes in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. He says, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They sold their possessions. We have not, in today's church, talked about that aspect. That part of the provision mechanism for the church is that people don't just look at what they have in hand, but looking at what they have stored. Did you get that? They sold what they had. So that's what they had stored. Amen? They looked at whatever it is that they had and said, you know what? I've not worn these clothes for what? Praise God. Why is that thing there? What is it doing? We've not used it. Sell it. And they brought their possessions together and began to share what they had, turned from one level to another. They created liquidity. Are you with me? They created liquidity. They saw things and they said, that's not doing me any good here. That can help somebody. Let's do something with it. And they parted it. They parted those things from themselves and impacted somebody else with it. Amen? Well, let us pray that God will give us insight to see our surroundings and determine what needs to go so that somebody else can be blessed. Make sense? Let's pray that prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the capacity to see new avenues of provision, to see ways and means to enrich and to impact other people's lives. So, Lord, oh God, that we become a people that have no need, because, Father, we have activated the spirit of unity, the spirit of love, the spirit of thanksgiving, the spirit of giving. Lord, oh God, that lives may be transformed. We give you praise, O God, that you are giving us insight to provisions. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive supernatural insight. So, Lord, O God, that needs are met, and no one in the body is in a state of lack. In Jesus' mighty name, we give you praise for that. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, they parted them to all men as every man had need. And then the word of God says, first of all, that they were together. Two, they shared their resources. And three, he says, and they continuing daily with one accord, meaning unity again, in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, as fellowshipping together, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. It's reinforcing the spirit of unity again. But it's saying they were in one accord. They shared things together so that people's needs were met. They met together, studying together, fellowshipping together, eating together, not only in the temple, but now also house to house. You see that? And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. They were in one accord. And breaking bread from house to house. Fellowshipping from house to house. They were not busy gossiping. That was not the point. And they were not busy talking about the sports and what they saw in the soap opera and whatever else. No, they were talking about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, this new relationship and the joy of the Lord, and fellowshipping, finding and about each other and praying one for another. It says they ate their meat with gladness. Whatever it is they had, they ate with gladness and singleness of heart. Doing what? Praising God. Praising God. And because of that, because of all of these things that they were doing, the Bible says they have in favor with all the people. They had favor with all the people. The people in-house and the people outside the house. Those that were saved and those that were not saved saw something different. They saw a people that were united. We're working together. There's a particular organization, while I don't agree with a lot of things that they teach, but these guys, they will come from all kinds of places. Actually, there are two groups like that. Bold cultish in their ways, but pretending to be believers. These people can build a whole church from foundation to putting the structure and electrical and plumbing and everything in 1 week. You're there, it's just bare land, and come a week later and say, huh? What happened here? Building this up. Because they work together. Togetherness isn't arbitrary. Togetherness means that each person recognizes their place and the place of the other person. The leader might be a short guy like this, like Napoleon. But he's the leader. You might be able to give him a good sucker punch and flatten him in one single second, but you recognize he's the leader. And when he gives an instruction, you do your thing. You make it happen. So when we're talking about unity, togetherness, We're talking also about recognition of leaders and recognizing my place in the body. Amen? Everybody in this church is not the pastor. Make sense? And if everybody wants to be the pastor, then we don't have a church. We have anarchy, we have confusion, we have everything but. You recognize that's the person God has placed in that position. And you honor that position, and you do your part in making whatever the assignment is happen.